World Cancer Day, held every February 4th, is the global uniting initiative led by the Union for International Cancer Control, or the UICC. Created in 2000, World Cancer Day has grown into a positive movement for everyone, everywhere, to unite under one voice to face one of our greatest challenges in history. Each year, hundreds of activities and events take place around the world, gathering communities, organizations, and individuals in schools, businesses, hospitals, in the streets, and online, acting as a powerful reminder that we all have a role to play in reducing the global impact of cancer. While we live in a time of advancements in cancer prevention, diagnosis, and treatment, many people who seek cancer care are hit by barriers at every turn. Income, education, geographical location, and discrimination based on ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, age, and lifestyle are just a few of the factors that can negatively affect care. So this year's World Cancer Day theme is Closing the Gap. I'm speaking now to the Communication and Media Manager for the UICC, Eric Grant, about tomorrow's World Cancer Day, and also ways to educate yourself about the inequities that exist in cancer screening for demographics and communities often left out of statistical research. Here's Eric Grant now.
Well, thank you very much. My name is Eric Grant. I'm the Communications and Media Manager at the Union for International Cancer Control, or UICC, which is based in Geneva, Switzerland.
Excellent. Thank you so much for speaking with me today, Eric. So can you tell us, what is the UICC?
Well, thank you very much for having me on. UICC is, the Union for International Cancer Control, based in Geneva, is the oldest and the largest cancer-fighting organization in the world. It was founded in 1933, so almost 90 years ago at a cancer congress. And it now numbers almost 1,200 member organizations around the world in 172 countries. We also work with about 60 partners, including cancer organizations, foundations, and private sector companies. I should add that the member organizations are patient support groups, research institutions, cancer leagues, treatment centers, hospitals, research centers, ministries of health, and other public health agencies. And finally, we also work closely with WHO, the World Health Organization, and other UN agencies such as the International Agency for Research on Cancer, IARC, and the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, on matters related to global cancer control. Obviously, the aim with all of this is to support and convene the global cancer community so that we can see the number of cancer cases and deaths reduced. Right now, there are, I think last year, or 2020, should I say, there are 19.6 million new cases of cancer and about 10 million cancer-related deaths.
Do you find that the UICC, are you kind of each year having a new mission in as far as awareness or a message that you're trying to get across? And if so, what would you say is your message for 2022?
One of our convening roles is World Cancer Day, which is one of the largest health awareness days in the calendar, I would say. And yes, that we have not every year, but every 3 years, we have a new campaign. So we just ended the I Am and I Will campaign, and we will be on the 4th of February. It takes place every 4th of February. It's been going on for almost over 20 years now. And the new campaign theme is on equity. It's about closing the gap in cancer care.
What stigmas still exist about cancer that you hope are diminished in 2022, and then looking ahead to the next 5 to 10 years? And then also, what are the prejudices and stigmas that might still affect the way that people are treated?
I mean, obviously, I think there's still a lot of fear around cancer and strangely shame associated with a cancer diagnosis. Either the patient himself can feel it, but also they can feel it. Ostracization on respect to others. It's difficult to get into details, a lot of different reasons for this. And that's obviously something we'd like to reduce that and understand that there's nothing shameful or about cancer. It's not an issue of, it's no one's fault. And the fear of cancer, I think, is important to stress that now, especially in high-income countries like Canada, there are many cancers that can be very successfully treated and cured, especially when they're caught early. And that's why we often, we stress things like routine screenings and prevention programs. Cervical cancer, breast cancer, colorectal cancer, these cancers have very, very high survival rates, sometimes over 90% if they're caught at very early stage. Inversely, if they're caught late, they're diagnosed at maybe, let's say, advanced cancer stages, you know, sometimes those survival rates can drop to below 20%. So it's really important that the people are informed and do what is necessary to get the care they need. And that brings us obviously to the second part, is that sometimes that information isn't available to certain populations. The services may be, you know, they may live in very remote locations where it's difficult to access those services, or if they do to do so, they have to find childcare, they have to find transportation, they have to take time off work. All these things can reduce a person's access to services even when they exist. And this is what this three-year campaign for World Cancer Day is about, is closing that care gap.
Here in the north, in Smithers and on Wet'suwet'en territory here, our First Nations Health Authority has done quite a bit of outreach and also planning and procedures to help bridge the gap between First Nations communities who have experienced so much systemic racism and barriers. Maybe that's via language or culture and understanding with the healthcare system. So knowing that, what work is being done to mitigate that experience for First Nations people in Northern BC and Canada with the work that the UICC is doing?
Yeah, thank you very much for pointing that out. It, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, these are all factors that can influence a person's access to care. And the Indigenous populations, I mean, around the world too, obviously they're all very different, but they share that same common experience with colonialization, racism, And they are very much among the underserved populations. I think a recent study has shown in British Columbia that Indigenous people, they may have an overall low rate for most cancers, but they're also more likely to die if they have the disease. I think the five-year survival rates for cervical cancer are at least 20% higher for non-Indigenous, for non-Indigenous women than for Indigenous women. Mm-hmm. Canada, like New Zealand, has shown remarkable response. I think they're really starting to address the issue. And at UIC, we often show this as an example of what can be done in terms of culturally sensitive policies. Several organizations, that's Métis Nation, British Columbia, BC Cancer, First Nations Health Authority, and the BC Association of Aboriginal Friendship Centers have collaborated on a series of measures that engage Indigenous communities in an open dialogue so the cancer care avoid stereotypes, prejudices, and presumptions, and that their specific needs and understanding of cancer are taken into account. And that's really what is important.
And actually on that, more than half the people who have cancer are 65 or older, and yet they tend to be diagnosed later. Now, often because early cancer symptoms are mistaken for everyday pain or minor illnesses associated with old age. And older patients are also vastly underrepresented in clinical trials. What is the UICC doing about this statistic?
Yeah, that's a really important issue. Thank you for raising it, because, you know, as you know, the populations are aging quite rapidly all around the world. And obviously with age comes a certain number of comorbidity factors and specific needs. And as you say, it's sometimes just a question of not recognizing a cancer symptom for what it is, because it's put down to the question of age. So it's what we might call sort of, you know, unintended ageism. Ageism itself exists in the profession, unfortunately, but and in society. But in this particular case, it's really a question of building up the geriatric knowledge among practitioners. There's certain places. I mean, there's a foundation in Chile that's worked on this, and other places where they introduced geriatric assessments to really look at what a patient's, what their desires are, what they need, what kind of treatments they may wish for. So that they really move towards some personalized care for older adults. And this is something that, you know, UIC has been working on with Sanofi in particular. We've organized a series of webinars to draw the attention and what can be done about it. We've also issued a report on cancer care for older adults, and of course we raise the issue with our members and to make sure that and with governments to make sure that the older adults are included in national cancer control planning, including clinical trials and research.
Eric, is there anything that I didn't ask that you think is important for people to know about the upcoming World Cancer Day on February 4th or the UICC that you think our listeners should know?
Well, I mean, cancer obviously can be, as we discussed at the very beginning, it can be a dark topic. I think World Cancer Day, we really need to understand it's a celebration. I mean, it's a celebration of people who go through it, of people who've survived it, and making sure that people, the idea is also just to be aware that, I guess, well, more than half of all cancers are actually preventable through just a lifestyle, healthier lifestyle, physical activity, you quit smoking, moderate drinking, a lot of different factors, as well as prevention, you know, early screening. And so it's always difficult to when we know that so many people are dying of a death that's avoidable, and sometimes in pain that's also avoidable. So therefore, in this sense, you know, we want to generate enthusiasm and give a certain celebratory experience around World Cancer Day to say we can make progress. We can take action together. We can really change things. Change is definitely possible.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today. I'm really excited to see what our community does to get involved here in the North. And I will make sure to look online to see if we have any lit up orange monuments or bridges here in the North.
Yeah, and if anyone is organizing something, please don't hesitate to mark it on the map of activities on our website, theworldcancerday.org. You know, it collates all the activities going on around the world, and it's a really great way of seeing all this sort of global energy that's being generated on the 4th of February.